tongue must confess that Jesus is the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Give Jesus a praise. Give Jesus a praise. Hey, glory be to God. Glory. Let's be seated tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I have a scripture
field lesson tonight.
I don't know how
I want to finish the lesson tonight. Glory be to God. There's a whole bunch of scriptures. Ha, ha, ha. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory. Glory.
There's an anointing in the house tonight.
Amen. Yes.
Glory, glory. I feel the fire. I feel the fire in my bone. Glory be to God. There is fire. There is fire. There's an anointing that is spreading through the house. Woo. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. I love you, Jesus. No other name will take your place in my heart. No other name will take your place in my life. In spite of the situation,
in spite of
the circumstances, the name Jesus, the name Jesus, is higher than any other name. Glory be to God. Join me to say glory be to God.
Glory
be to God.
Glory
be to God. I said glory be to God. Woo, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Woo. 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 Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory be to God. It's good to have the comforter. The comforter comes when you are discomfort. The comforter comes to enlighten you, to make your life sweet. The comforter don't come to make you miserable. But rather when you are miserable, then you need the comforter. Glory be to God. I don't know if I'm the only one that needs the comforter tonight. I don't know if I'm the only one feeling the comforter tonight, but I know he's here.
Amen.
I know the comforter is right. Hallelujah. Oh, release me, Lord. Release me, Lord. Release me, Lord. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, yes. Ooh. Glory. Ooh. Yes. Yes. Ooh. Thank you, Father. God bless you. I told on my lesson tonight, the hope of our calling. What is the hope of your calling? Do you know why you decide to be a Christian? Do you know why you make up your mind to serve the Lord and nothing else and no other one? What is the hope of your suffering? Do you see yourself as a chapel of grace? Or do you see yourself as a scaffolder? You know what a scaffolder, right? Scaffolding is used in erecting a house. And when the building is done, when the concrete are strong, when the bricks are laid and they are solid, and then the scaffolding are taken aside and put aside. They are taken out of the building. I said, do you see yourself as a chapel of praise? He said, present your body holy, a reasonable sacrifice. Do you see yourself as a sacrifice of praise? Or do you see yourself as a scaffolding? Have you sat down, brethren, to meditate why you are created? And for what purpose is your creation? Have you sat down? Has it ever occurred to you that, you know, why am I created? What is my purpose in life? If that has never occurred to you, then you have no calling. Because everyone called of God, everyone that has the hand of God upon their life, will at a point in time reason, why am I walking on the face of the earth? Why am I created? What is my purpose? He said to you in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 down to verse 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. In verse 27, not all are called. But God has chosen you, the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And in verse 28, and base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And in verse 29, amen. In verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So when God calls you and you know the hope of your calling, you don't glory. You don't take the praise. Amen. No. You don't say it's because I'm righteous, or you don't say it's because I'm rich. You know, God knows I'm rich, so he wants to use my riches. Or maybe because I'm too beautiful, so God knows that I'm going to, when I go to a beauty pageant, I'm going to win the pageant for God. No, that's not the reason why God chooses you. He chooses you because you are you. He chooses you before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the earth was created, God chose you. He called you. He ordained you. Therefore, put your hands down and stop glorying just because you knew that, oh, I might probably be the first resurrection. That is not a criteria for you and me to begin to boast or be proud. You know, in my early Christian days, when I met this gospel, I'm among them, I've shared this before, I was among them that would go into the street in the name of, in quote, evangelism. And we begin to tell everybody, if you are not in this ministry, you are down. My sister can bear witness. It's either you are in this ministry or you know you are down. And I could remember my mom saying one day, you know, if that your church where you all dance like tuke tuke, you know, there's a way we dance. You know, there's a way we dance. If that is the only church, you know that if I don't go, I'll go to a leave it every time. If you are not in this ministry, you are down. You know, even to where we are made to disown, almost disown our families. You know, disown friends. At a point in time, I thank God I was not among them that sold my TV. You know, then I lost what days of our life. You know, days of our life have been a long time. Yeah, in Africa, I love Days of Our Lives. It's so popular. So, you want me to sell my TV and not what Days of Our Life? You got to be kidding me. I didn't sell my TV. Though my dressing changed, though. You know, we dress long, skirt, wear pantyhose so that I don't see my toes. You know, make sure my dress is up to my neck and no earring. Well, in spite of the fact they said no earring, I think I was a rebellion, that was the earring. But I'll put on the tiny one because I don't see the reason why my home should block. There should be a difference between me and the men. Even though men these days are like acting like women, trying to pierce their ears. You know, so you don't even recognize who is a woman and who is a man anymore. Formerly, you recognize who is a lady through the earring. But now, when the men also are putting on big earrings, so who is a man, who is a female? Amen? That is because you don't know the hope of your calling. But in order not to digress, I'm saying this to let you know how we feel that if you're not, you know, walking in this gospel, you are bad. something that was wrong. So there's a lot of people that would have been won to Christ, but the way and the manner we present it, we are getting so proud. You know, when you, just like Brother Paul, when he finally got a clue about who Jesus was, alright, he became very, he had a zeal. The zeal increased, but the Bible calls it ignorant zeal. You see, then we had an ignorant zeal. Unknown to us that God gave you what he gave you, okay? Do not think it's because you are too wise or you are too knowledgeable. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But then we were trying to glory, you know, like, man, you don't have knowledge. We can quote the scriptures, oh my God, open to this book, open to that book, give me the book of this, give me Habakkuk, Nahum, Eliam, Charlotte, and we feel, you know, driving the word of God. Oh, that makes us so big, so proud. And to God says, call it up. The truth, but not in love. So when you preach the truth, not in love, you don't win souls. I hope I don't have anybody doing that in this assembly. Amen. I didn't send you out to go and tell them if you're not in this ministry, you'll be there. Because when you do that, then nobody's going to come with you to church. But preach the truth, but in love. Preach Christ crucified. Preach about the kingdom that is coming, which is the hope of our calling. Now give me Ephesians 1:18.
1:18. Let's see what
Brother Paul talked about.
Ephesians 1:18. He said, the
eyes, he prayed for the Ephesians church. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, we have understanding, but our eyes were darkened.
And that's why
we are holding the word of God with condemnation
instead of with
love. So I pray tonight that Brother Paul is praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Listen, the hope of what? His calling for you. That's why he prays that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling for you. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. If the eyes of your understanding is darkened, then you don't know the hope of your calling. Not just your calling, but his calling for you. Has he called you to be a shoe shiner? Has he called you to be a shoe cobbler? Maybe he has called you to work in the children's ministry. Maybe he has called you to be an evangelist. Probably he has called you. You see, it's not about what you desire. It's about what God desires for you. What he called you to be. Amen. Now, some of you never knew you'll be ordained to what a position you have been ordained to. It's not about what you want. If it's about what I want, I don't want this job. Excuse me. But it's not about what I want. It's about what he had called me to do. And even when I felt I couldn't do it, even when I see myself as, I can't do it. How? That's not what I love to do. But because I want to make it to the kingdom. Now, if that is his calling for me, guess what? I began to walk into it. And I begin to notice that as I walk into it, and I saw grace being applied. He started giving me the grace to know how to study better, to know how to be a better preacher, to know how to be patient, to know how to not yell and fight everybody. You see, because I was willing, I fall upon the rock.
Amen.
I fell upon the rock. But is this what I want to do? No way. You all know, no way. No way. You know, I love to rock life. I love to enjoy life. But now I love, maybe I'm in the air or in the sea, you know, cruising somewhere or flying somewhere. Sleeping in one of the best hotels, and then I'll be able to tell you how the pillow feels soft and everything. That is the kind of life I desire. That is who I am. But God is telling me, no, the hope of my calling for you is to walk this path. So, my friend, it's not about what you want. It's about what God wants for you. You know how many things many of us have desired? Some of us desire to be a doctor or pharmacist. Even some push their daughter to go read to become a pharmacy, a doctor, in quotes, in order to make all the money. But at the end of the day, that doctor, that pharmacy, I've witnessed, turned around at the end of his age to become a chef. And when they become chef, then they excel better. Then they have a happy life.
Yes.
So it's not about what you want as God, it's about what God wants. And of course, Brother Paul said, who have resisted his will and prosper. Why don't we make it easier on ourselves? And not resist his will for us. And not resist his calling for us. His calling upon you is not for you to shine, my friend, like you desire. Oh, you know, if I was ordained to be a pastor, maybe I would do better. No. The one even called you, have you tried to do it? Have you ventured to do it? Unless it might promote you to what you desire to be. But first of all, why don't you apply obedience? Somebody say obedience.
Obedience.
The reason why many of us don't apply obedience to God's calling is because we don't know the hope of his calling for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, brethren, if God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, he did it that you and I will not glory, will not be boastful, will not think it's because of the wealth we have. Or maybe it's because of the stature we possess. Or maybe because how prayerful, how powerful we are. That's why God called you. You lied. He chose the base things to confound the mighty. And if you don't realize that you are base, and you begin to act like the mighty, God also knows how to bring the mighty and make them base. Humble yourself. That is one of the characteristics to know who is called of God. Humble. Moses was humble and meek. David is a humble man. Oh, very humble. Any little sin, guess who David runs to? To the Lord. The hope of Jesus' calling is to bring back again a new Genesis. Somebody say new Genesis.
Genesis.
That is the hope of Jesus calling. The hope of the master is to bring back a Davidic kingdom. A kingdom that was lost in the Garden of Eden, but now found through the blood of his redemption. You see, he paid a price to buy back the kingdom. So what makes you feel that you will not pay a price? That the kingdom will not cost you something? Who gave you that lie? That just coming to church and just believing in the name Jesus, that will put you in the kingdom. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If the kingdom cost Jesus the blood for redemption, what will the kingdom cost you? Because Jesus knew and understood the hope of his calling. So he was willing to pay the price. You see, the reason why we have nonchalant Christians, nonchalant children of God, is because they don't know the hope of their calling. If you tonight will reason with me and try to understand what is the hope of your calling, might be you myself got God better than you are doing. Maybe you see reasons why it's either God or nothing. He said, when I come, shall I find faith on the earth? When he come, will he be able to find you worthy? And say, whether well, that good and faithful servant. Or is he going to tell you, get behind me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What will it be? Listen, these two categories I just mentioned, they both go to church. They both serve the Lord. And as a matter of fact, the one that he said he never knew does many mighty works. They are mighty preachers. They are big prophets. That's why I'm not moved by how large your congregation is. You may have 1 billion, but what I watch is how depth has God given you. And you could have a little church in every city, just little. And yet, God gave you power, wisdom. That is the one I want to follow.
Amen.
Because the crowd will not put me in the kingdom. The truth shall make you free. Not the crowd. I could be in the crowd and no truth. The fact that you mention Jesus is Lord does not mean it's the truth, because the devil also says Jesus is Lord. But the Bible says what? He trembles. Well, how do you divide? What is the width? The width of the knowledge, the wisdom God gave you. My father-in-law was talking to me yesterday, and he put something in my mind. And you know, I never reasoned it that way. He said, you see, the reason why many of us fall into mischiefs and problems is because we don't ask God for wisdom. Father, give me wisdom to be able to carry the burden meant for me. I need wisdom, right? So that I won't carry the burden not meant for me. I say, you know what? I say, sir, that's a good prayer. If we don't ask for wisdom, we just jump into everything, then we get into trouble. But what about we asking for wisdom? But I meditated on it over the night. I slept over it. I couldn't sleep. Father, how come I didn't have this knowledge to ask for wisdom? Wisdom is everything. Wisdom is Jesus. If you have wisdom and you understand wisdom, then you know the hope of your calling. Now let's start from the beginning. Give me Genesis chapter 3. Like I said, it's a very lengthy scripture message. Give me Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 3. We want to start from the very beginning, because our race is for none other than to be a ruler in the coming kingdom. In the coming Genesis. That is our purpose, my friend. That is the reason why I'm running this way. If there's any other reason why I'm running this way, then I don't want it. Because the reason why I'm running this way, the reason why I'm ready to preach to 1 million, 5 people, 20 people, 100 people, is because I want to be in the again Genesis. We had a Genesis in Genesis 1:1. We had another Genesis in Genesis 9 when God destroyed the living world of Noah. He gave Noah another Genesis. Mm-hmm. Noah and the exiles began to repopulate the earth. Now there's going to be another Genesis.
Amen.
At the second coming of Christ. You see three Genesis. The Genesis when the world was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then God said, okay, enough, Satan, let there be light. That's the Genesis that began. Then when man began to start evil inventions, God destroyed with the flood. And then he came again and said, Noah, be fruitful and multiply, replenish. You see, the same command he gave to Adam, the same command he gave to Noah. Why are you looking at me as if what I'm saying I'm following for? Okay. All right, let's go. I'm coming back to my Genesis. All of them looking at me like I'm falling from the mountain. Now give me Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons. This was after the flood, right? And said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, that word replenish means what? Repopulate, reproduce. Okay? Put that here. If you read through, you see that every command he gave to Noah, go back to Genesis 1 in verse 28. Give me Genesis 1, 28. Genesis 1, 28. And God blessed them. Remember, God blessed Noah, right? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and what? And multiply, and replenish the earth. Who did God spoke to? Adam. You see, the same command God gave to Adam and Eve, he also gave to what? Noah. Now, Adam can only replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion, because something happened in the previous earth that devastated the earth. Amen. And then when that devastation came, all that was upon the face of the earth was just water and darkness everywhere. And God made man and said, be fruitful and multiply. But before that, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be this, and there was this. But remember, God never said, let there be water, because there was already water. Now, the first earth was devastated. And then he gave men the command, be fruitful and multiply. Now, how do we know? Because we also see in Genesis chapter 9, you see how you have made me to digress? Look at all these people. This is not what I'm going to talk about, but you make me digress. But anyway, it's fine. But make sure that the day I'm going to ask questions, you are able to answer me very well. Amen. Now, see, he now came back again to Genesis chapter 9 after he destroyed the earth with the flood. Now, the same command he gave, he said, God bless them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, in the again Genesis that he promised us another Genesis. Ye that have followed me, he said, when ye shall see the Son of Man, I'm quoting much, I'm not going there because it's in my lesson, but I'm just giving you an upfront. He said, when ye shall see the Son of Man sit upon the throne of his glory, ye that have followed me, that have denied mother, father, husband, wife, children, for my name's sake, when ye shall see me sit upon the throne of my glory, ye that have followed me shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, my question, we all know that 12 tribes is not only the tribes we have on the face of the earth. And that's when I began to ask the question, who is going to judge Tampa for God? Who is going to judge St. Pete for God? Know the hope of your calling. Now, who is going to judge all these cities, all these counties for God? When it comes, when you make it, he said he has made us priests and kings. And we shall what? Reign on the earth. Now, if he has made us priests and kings, right? What does king do? Rule. They rule. What does priests do? Rule. They rule the people. Now, some are going to rule along with Christ as a shepherd. And some are going to be king, but not the earthly king. Now, it's going to be a God-fearing king. A king in a godly way. That will be able to see to cities, handle the city. And once or twice or how many times in a year, we'll be able to just close our eyes. Within second, we're gone to Jerusalem. Do you know I don't need Boeing 747? I don't even need the biggest aircraft because our body will be changed. Then some of us are going to be clothed with the body immortality. Some with an angelic body, some with Adamic body. But one thing is sure, the rulers, within the twinkle of an eye, once the master says, I need to have a meeting faster than the speed of sound, we are there in Jerusalem. Amen. And then we sit in the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm just imagining. You know, those are things that it's good to imagine. Don't imagine the food you cook at home that, you preacher, you just stop talking and let me just go home and just have the meal that I prepared. You know, just, can you please close the service? That is not what should overtake your thought. What should overtake your thought is the hope of your calling. What should overtake your thought is the reason why you are coming to Tabernacle of Divine Glory.
Yes. Yes.
Why you are ready. Well, many of you belong to churches before you came. But when you came, you said, I found my beloved, whom my soul adored. Solomon said, when I found her, I cling on to her. And I said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. Even when I step so hard on your toes, you refuse to go. Even when I shout and yell at you, you refusing to go. No, you're not refusing to go because I gave you some voodoo or whatever, but because you are beginning to understand the hope of your calling. You are beginning to understand that I'm receiving a nourishment here. Where I came from, where I've been for 40 years, some have been there 50 years, I never got this nourishment. So there's a reason why God kept me alive, that I may meet this gospel. And that's because God has you in mind. God called you for a purpose.
Amen.
And that's why he led you up, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Amen.
Amen.
So you see in Genesis chapter 3, let's go back now. Thank you for making me digress. Thank you. I don't even know why I was looking at your faces. If I didn't look at your face, I would have just, you know, just dived along my message. But anyway. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yea. And God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. In verse 2, listen. Look at it. The serpent only asks. God says, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. Look at what the woman said. And the fear of you. No, give me Genesis 3. In verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. Look at where I began. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Did God tell them not to touch it? He never said so. He said what? Do not eat of it. God can never tell you not to touch it because you are going to dress. He said, dress and keep the garden. So invariably when you are dressing the garden, your hand is going to touch the leaves. Your hand is going to touch the trees. So God never said they should not touch it. God says what? God never said they should not touch it. God only said, do not eat of it. He said, at least you die. Now, let's look at verse 4. I want to show you how our kingdom, our right was sold. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely, listen, look at what the devil added. Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. You see, just one sentence the devil added. And then, one word. And then, in verse 5, for God doth know, I want to show you something, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Is the devil lying? No. You see, that is the calling. That is the hope of her calling, to be like what? God. Christ said, know ye not that ye are gods?
Amen.
Listen, the devil knew that the calling, the hope of our calling is to be gods in the kingdom. Knowing good and evil, but not in that fashion. Now, babe, you all know the story. Now, I'm cutting down. I don't want to read all through. But based on this, of the event that took place in the garden, our birthright was sold. Because now, the devil brought the fruit. I don't know whether it's apple. Please. It's not this thing they draw, apple. It's more than apple. That thing must be very, very, very attractive. He brought it to them. They ate. And their eyes were open. And indeed, they began to know good and evil. But what if they lost being God? Because you can't be a God in this flesh. No. You can't be a God in what? In your earthly house. You all know this flesh is what? Our earthly house. And this earthly house, Brother Paul told you, it will be dissolved. But we have a house, a mansion, not made with hands,
yeah,
eternal in the heavens, that we shall be clothed upon. And that is what Christ told in John 41. In my Father's house are many mansions. That means in the dwelling of God, in God's immortal body, there are other great awaiting surprise bodies that he has prepared for us. If we are not so, I would have told you that I would have gone to prepare a place, that where I be, there you also shall be. Now, the hope of our calling is to know where Jesus will be. Because where he will be, there we also will be. Now, if Jesus himself is telling you that I am going to be here, and you are saying, no, I want to be in heaven forever, somebody is not telling the truth. If all the pages from Genesis to Revelation, Christ says, I will return. I will return. Even when the angel came to meet Mary, he told Mary, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Yet, Mary says, no, you lie. We are coming up there. Don't better come down. We are coming up there to meet you. You see, we are telling all these people, heaven is real. You know, when you die, you go to heaven. And when you live in heaven, even some lie. You see, that is what kills me. And yet, because the eyes of many God's children is not enlightened, they are in darkness. Heaven, somebody come to tell you that in God's domain, there are rooms. Some will tell you, oh, I saw my dead father. He has a room. What? My question about what body is he living in the realms? Because flesh and blood cannot see God. And he only said, in a twinkle of an eye, we all shall be changed. Has the change come? No. My question, you see your dead father, your dead mother, your dead pastor, that keep lying to you, by what body did they live in heaven? And somebody sat down to ask, preacher, hold your peace. Hold your peace. What part of heaven is this person you are talking about? You are saying he's already in heaven, walking in the streets of gold. Who told you that in heaven there is a street of gold? When the blind leads the blind. And yet you carry the scripture without the truth. You can't be a security risk in the kingdom. You think God will let you come? Because you are going, you know, like our opposite counterpart. They said that when a man, when you kill, you know, the infidels, invariably they refer to we Christians as the infidel. So they are the good ones, the righteous. Imagine. But when they kill we, the God's people, that they term to be infidels, when they get to the heavens, at the heaven gate, God is going to give them seven virgins. Now, seven virgins, you never capitulated while you are. So what makes you feel good before God? Who is of a purer eyes that cannot behold evil? Then you start sleeping with seven virgins. In what room? And where, which bed are you going to keep them? Seven virgins that you never had. Even sleeping with one or two, you're already dying. Then you want to sleep with seven virgins. Because you are the only one that God gave whatever. Reason. We are trying to look at the scriptures. My people are destroyed for lack of what?
Knowledge.
He said, without the vision, the people perish. God is not interested just because you call upon Jesus. But you call him with the truth. But anyway, he said to us in Matthew 7, enter ye the broad way. Just enter. Though it leads to what? Destruction. So because see, this narrow way is for the few, but it leads to what? Life. Then the narrow way is the hope of your calling. But many of us don't want to stay in the narrow way. You know, because we become socializing Christians. You know, because we want to be identified. We want to tag along. My mother go there, my father go there, you know, every of my friends go there. Well, they may go there. Guess what? I have my calling. I have the hope of my calling. Because you may be called to go that way, and I be called to go this way. Amen?
Amen.
Know your calling. Now, we see that the kingdom was taken from our father and mother, Adam and Eve. But after 2,000 years, something happened. After 2,000 years, I said what? Something happened. What happened? Luke chapter 1. Let's see what happened after 2,000 years. That the enemy took our Petra from our father and our mother. Something happened. Luke chapter 1, give me verse 30. I'm going to read from verse 30 down to verse 35. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 30 to verse 35. Let's see what happened after 2,000 years. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You see, Mary found favor with God. That does not make Mary the fourth Godhead, like the Roman Catholic says, that she's a, oh, I've never seen any blasphemy in my life than that program I went to. And hearing that Reverend Father saying that, I feel like throwing up. Even the children with us knew, that's not true. Mary found favor. Like you could find, if you remain a virgin, you don't know what God can use you to do. And that does not mean that you'll be idolized or immortalized. Amen. She found favor. Give me verse 31. To be used of God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's to let you know that the Son is not the Father. That's two separate one entities. So that already nullifies and disqualifies Trinity. Because it shall be called the Son of somebody. Right? So if he's the Son of somebody, that means that somebody is one. He also is one. And they'll say, but the Bible says, I and my Father are one. Yeah, they are one in understanding, just as I'm praying to God to make us one. He also said, Father, make them one. He was praying for us. Father, make them one as you and I are one. Now, while Jesus was praying for the Father to make us one with him, does that mean we two have become Trinity? Does that mean we two were not Jesus? Come on, let our eyes of understanding be enlightened tonight. That we may see the hope of our calling and know why you are running this race. Not because my father said, oh, this is the belief of my great, 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 great grandfather. But what is God opening your eyes to see today? Have you asked yourself? You're supposed to have been dead, but why did God keep you alive to meet this gospel? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of who? Of the Highest. And the Lord God shall what? Give unto him the throne of his father David. Who will the Lord God give the throne of David to? Jesus. Because he said he will conceive, right? And bear his son. And they shall call his name Jesus. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Give me the next verse. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, since I know not a man? In verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Do you know the preacher, the priest also said, that the Holy Ghost came to make love to Mary. Yeah, make love to Mary. I said what I heard that night, I didn't know what to say. Even I, being a Roman Catholic, I never heard such. So the Holy Ghost can capitulate? I never heard such. All through my time of being a Roman Catholic. No. But he said that the Holy Ghost came and, you know, capitulated with Mary. And that's why Mary conceived. Wow. But nevertheless, brother, if the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, where is the throne of David? In heaven? I can't hear you.
Jerusalem.
Because David ruled in Jerusalem, right? Okay. Now give me Isaiah 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Quickly. Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6 to 7. And then they appeared to Mary and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, brethren, that in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise, right? The seed of the serpent. I told you when you get home, read the whole of Genesis chapter 3 on your own. You will see in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3 that God says, well, nevertheless, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. And we begin to see that the seed of the woman shall bruise the seed of the serpent. What is that seed of the woman? Jesus Christ. He's the only one that will bruise Satan. Now, give me Isaiah 9, verse 6 or 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Of his kingdom there shall be no end, even upon the throne of David. He's going to be upon the throne of David and rule the earth for 1,000 years. Amen. Now, if the seed of the woman shall bruise the seed of the serpent, for this seed to come to bearing, it came through an uncontaminated womb. Somebody say uncontaminated womb.
Uncontaminated womb.
Because if the womb of Mary was contaminated, God would go to another virgin whose heart is pure. That does not mean every virgin's heart is pure.
Amen.
But you know, Mary's heart was pure and she was a virgin. And for God to bring an uncontaminated seed, he needs an uncontaminated womb. And Mary happens to be the recipient. Now, Mary was a virgin whose seed was not contaminated. And in every virgin, there is an uncontaminated seed that God can use. If you have children, they are virgins, you know, encourage them to keep it. Because part of their womb is uncontaminated. And God can still use them. God can still, if God needs a virgin, and you have a daughter, 20, 21, you know, of age, still a virgin, God can use them. Watch virgins that are in church. I used to have a group in church, which I brought into the old church. It's called Purity. I call it the Purity Vows. I don't know if you are there when they took the vows. I took them from the age of 12. They went to the 3 months. And I was using Sister Emma as my example. Because Sister Emma was at 30-something. Before she got married, she was a virgin until she got married. So, when I'm talking, I use her as an example. So, sometimes I make her come to the past to talk to the youths. Have young girls that are virgin. And they kept it. And they took their purity vow. Listen, on that day, there was tears everywhere in the assembly. The church was packed full. Oh my God, I will never forget. Every one of them in their white attire, as if they are wedding, with their veil. And then they have the purity ring. And that ring was placed in their right hand. And nobody can take it until the day they want to say, I do. I wish my daughter was around to partake of it. And I hope to start it. It's once a year. I want to bring it back. The purity vow. It was so lovely. They gave their life to Jesus. That's how we see. Then I had, you know, vibrant youths. You see why they were, especially the ladies. These youths were strong until the devil struck. Some still remain virgin. Some are in jail. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
How are you working to keep your own seed safe? You want to give it to every man? Is that you want to use your seed? Give it to every man that comes. Children, you listening to me? Wake up. You want to give your seed to every man that comes? No, you must keep your seed until you meet the rightful owner. If anybody wants to come to molest you, make sure you kick them hard. Make sure,
come and tell me.
Then you will know your big mommy can fight. You think I don't? I can fight. Then I can break. If I can't fight, of course, I have the popo. I will call the popo to come and fight the fight. Keep your seed. You hear me? Keep your virginity until the day you want to get finish your school, you graduate from high school, graduate from college, become a doctor, a nurse, whatever you want to be. Then when you meet the rightful man, that will come to you, not just anyhow, carry rag. You know, I'm not going to let you marry no carry rag, because I will chop you up. Not a carry rag, good one. And then the girl you want to say, I do. That is the one you allow to touch your seed. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't ask you to nod your head like Lisa. Did you hear me? Thank you.
I said, Alpha, you want me to keep your seed safe? Now, give me the book of Psalm 132. You see, we've been
talking about the throne of David, the throne of David. Now, before the angel came to Mary, the Lord has sworn to raise a seed out of the house of David, who shall rule the house of Jacob. Give me Psalm 132 in verse 10 and 11. Before even the angel came, listen, God already gave David a prophecy. God swore to David that from your seed, I will raise someone that shall rule on your throne. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of the anointed. Now give me 11. Turn not the face of the anointed. The Lord has what? Sworn in truth unto David. And you know when God swears, he doesn't turn back.
Amen.
He's a covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. Alpha and Omega. There is no one like you. But we don't keep covenant. Even when we go to court and say, I will love you. I do that, that do. In that do, did that do. And then every little thing we go to court and say, I do not. I do not. Amen? And then we start quoting scripture. After all, Moses says we can divorce. You know, give her a divorce man or give him. We forget that God, when he swears, God does not turn. He is a covenant keeping God. And that's why I love the book of Psalm. I think I've taught that lesson. Is it Psalm 15 or Psalm 5? He said, who shall ascend unto the holy hills of God? He said, he that sweareth to his own heart and what? And change not. That is the only being that can ascend to the holy hills of God. God swore all truth unto David. He will know what? Turn from me. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy. Of the fruit of that body will I set upon that throne. Now, how do we know? How do we know? Because God promised to regenerate the kingdom through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why, listen, give me Revelation 22, verse 16. How do we know that this is talking about Jesus Christ? Let's hear it from Jesus himself. Revelation 22, in verse 16. Jesus, he put his signature, because he knew if he didn't say that, men would turn it around. Even the one he said, men are still turning it anyway. He said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and womb, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. You see why Luke 1 told you, the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. Does that mean David was the real father of Jesus? No. But David is a great great grandfather of Jesus. And that's what Christ told you. I am the word, the roots. That means he came from that lineage. Other translations say, I am the lineage of David. I am the bright. I'm the morning star. Now, if Jesus is the lineage of David, and Jesus tells you, well, give me Revelation 5, 5. Revelation chapter 5, in verse 5. I'll see as much scriptures as I can.
Cover up tonight.
Revelation 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Did you hear that? The roots of David has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. This was before the seven seals were to open. He needs the root of David. He needs Jesus. Jesus is the root of David. Amen. 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 Now, Jesus testified that he's the seed of David, thereby encouraging his disciples not to give up the hope of their calling. He assured them of this position in the coming kingdom. Those that endure to the end, not only shall be saved, but shall also be rulers, priests, and kings in the kingdom. Now give me Matthew 19:28. I told you it's going to be scripture. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which has followed me in the gate Genesis, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon what? 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Where is Israel? In heaven?
Africa.
In the mansion?
Africa.
And Jesus said, when you see me sit upon the throne, what throne? The throne of his father. Give me Revelation 20, verse 4. Let's look at the positions we all are going to occupy in the kingdom. Revelation 20, in verse 4. Revelation 20, in verse 4. Ooh. And I saw thrones. Did you see that word? Not one. Thrones. And they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. Those that sat upon the thrones, right, will be given power of authority. Judgment. Know ye not that the saints shall what? Judge the world. We quote the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Know ye not, how will you judge the world? When you have known the hope of your calling, and you stood to the end, then you are going to sit on throne, and judgment will be given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they live. Did you see that? And reign with Christ, what? 1,000 years. They live and reign. You see, they reign, meaning that they are priests, they are kings. Ordinary person cannot reign. You see, Trump is on the throne, but he has his ruling body. They are not ruling with him. They are reigning with him.
Amen. Give me
Matthew 10:22. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall what? Be saved. The reason why this lesson comes forth, I don't care how many times in a year I preach it. This is the reason of our calling. This is what gives us hope. You know, because of the way we walk, we go to job, we go do our businesses, sometimes we get overwhelmed and we forget these lessons. And sometimes, you know, we want to draw back, we want to come late to church, we don't even want to come at all. But you see, when this lesson is gone, it reminds us of why we need to suffer, why we need to kill our flesh. Only those that endure to the end shall be saved. Don't tell me, oh preacher, I gave my life to the Lord some 50 years ago. Well, good, I applaud you. But who are you now? Have you endured to the end? No. A man's endurance to the end is when he serves the Lord in the truth and he dies. The fact that you received Christ 50 years ago, my friend, does not mean you will die safe. Okay? If that be, then we shouldn't have those that will be condemned even though they come to church. Do I make sense? So it's only he that endures. Endure what? Persecution, tribulation, fire, hunger, poverty, hatred, everything you endure. That's those that will be saved. The Lord asked us to pray for a kingdom to come. Did they ask you to pray for a kingdom to go? Give me Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 quickly. Let me read from verse 9 to verse 13. The Lord asked us to pray for a kingdom to come. After after this manner, therefore pray ye, he said to his disciples. Because the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. Can you pray with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Hold on. Thy what? Thy kingdom
come.
Leave about giving us this daily bread. I know we all have bread and milk in the fridge. Thy kingdom
come.
Not thy kingdom
go.
If you pray this prayer, then why are you joining preachers to say that I saw the vision, I saw hell, and I saw heaven, and I saw men? Oh. Terrible. Sometimes I say, God, I'm glad in one way that you open my eyes, but I said that it's making me anger. And I see how nations wander after many beasts. Great. I used to be moved. But with Matthew 7? We did many mighty works in thy name. We did miracles in thy name. I stopped being moved. I watch out for nuggets. What do you have that I don't have? I watch out for nuggets. You have the nuggets? I want to stick my head. I'm green from you. Jesus said he's coming back to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Why? Because he knows the hope of his calling. He's paid the price. So he has to come back to rebuild it. Give me Acts 15, the Acts of the Apostles 15. Let's see verse 16 to 17. So the kingdom is coming, my friend. And he said in Acts 15, 16, after this, I will what?
Return.
After what? After which thing? The great tribulation. I will return. I will build again the tabernacle of who?
David,
which is falling down. And I will build again the real Zero, and I will set it up. And in verse 17, why will you set it up, Jesus? That what? The residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, said the Lord who doeth all these things. That the residue of men might flow to it. You see why? I don't know how many times in the year. Presently, all Israel, they go to Shiloh, where Shiloh is broken down. But they go to the temple. It used to be twice a year. They will go worship God. Now, I don't know how many times a year when Christ comes, we all will flow to Jerusalem again, to that temple. Now, listen, that temple is broken down. That temple is being overshadowed with the mosque of Omar. You see, that's where the Muslims now have their Kaaba. Where they now go to, right, to bow down and call it jihad. That is the temple of Solomon. But Christ, Pope can't do it. No preacher can take it. But he that has it will come back. He told them, I will return and I will build it again. He is going to take it over. That is part of the war. That black thing does not belong to the temple of Solomon.
That is the temple. Christ is going to reign in all over the earth.
Give me 1 Chronicles 16.
31.
1 Chronicles 16. 31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Is it right now? The Lord is not reigning. Don't mind Jehovah's Witness that said the Lord has been reigning since 1947. Listen, the Lord cannot be reigning and there'll be earthquakes. There'll be war. So the Lord is not reigning yet. But when the Lord reigns, there'll be gladness. The earth will rejoice. And let men say, among the nations, the Lord reigns. And we see Solomon is sitting on the throne. Solomon sitting on the throne is a replica of God's throne. Give me first, that's in 1 Chronicle 28 in verse 5. 1 Chronicle 28 in verse 5. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen Solomon, my son, to do what? To sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Even David knew that Solomon sitting on that is the is what? Is the throne of the Lord. Is the throne of God.
And that's what the
angel says. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Solomon sitting upon that throne is a replica. Amen?
Amen.
His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Psalm 145 in verse 11 to 13. The book of Psalms 145 in verse 11 down to verse 13. They shall speak of the glory of the of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. And in verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is what? An everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. So it's not just going to be a short one. No, it's what? An everlasting kingdom. I'm showing you the hope of your calling. I'm telling you, get encouraged. Don't lose hope. Many are coming. I see a cloud arising for us very soon.
Amen.
Take your positions. Know where you belong. Do not be swayed. Do not be moved by crowd, by miracles, by that. Do not. Because God gives us time here. Maybe you don't know. God gives us miracle here. But we may not publicize it, but it does happen. It does happen. Amen?
Amen.
Now,
if Joseph of Arimathea is waiting for the kingdom, what about you? You know who is Joseph of Arimathea? Joseph of Arimathea was the one that came to ask Pilate for the body of Jesus Christ. He bought a special tomb where he believed. If he knows that he's waiting for a kingdom, what about you? What about you? What have you swallowed before? You swallowed that you are going to live up there. What about you? Now, give me Mark 15, 43. Give me Mark 15 in verse 43. Bear with me. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved. You see? He craved for the body of Christ. You know why? He knows the hope of his calling. He knows what? He's waiting for a kingdom of God. Joseph of Arimathea is waiting for the kingdom of God. What are you waiting for? To go up there? Yes, some saints will go up there, but only for 3.5 years. And the Bible says 42 months. Times and half a time. 3.5 years. And not everybody, my friend, is numbered. 144,000 that will redeem from among men. This shall be our first fruit unto God. Forget all this movie. Where I have it though. The movie keeps me watch, you know, keeps me intact. Oh, then pilot will go. Hair crew will go. Captains will go. You know, there'll be chaos. Who told you? We hear that the day the Lord will come is going to be as what? A thief. Nobody will know. Oh, it pains me. You know how it makes your heart bitter. Preacher. Oh, I saw many, you know, chaos upon, and some went around to, and there was chaos. Then the scripture is void. Because the Bible tells me that when Christ comes, at the first of the second advent, he's going to come as a thief in the night. Nobody will know. Only those 144,000 near the sound of the trumpet. They're gone. Because it's going to be as a thief in the night. Which means many will wake up and see that I'm going on rapture. Me, I will never say, me, I'm going on rapture. Whether the devil likes it or not. And they went, what happened? They begin to search. Let's go there, maybe they are there. I said, what about you? Now, when Jesus will be on the earth, his house shall be established on top of the mountain. When Jesus will be ruling in Jerusalem, listen, his house shall be on top of the mountain. Give me Isaiah 2 verse 2 to 4. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the mountain as a chief mountain. Isaiah 2 verse 2 to 4. And it shall come to pass in that last days, as the last day come, no, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be what? Established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall what? Flow unto it. As it began, oh man, I can't wait. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us. You see why I said, this is a scripture I use. I hope to get more to prove the fact that 1,000 years reign, we are going to be in a school. Because Jesus has to teach us the way of the Lord. So that after the 1,000 years reign, Brother Paul says, and the kingdom shall be handed over back to God. So both Christ and we all shall be under God. And God will be all in all. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 told us. Now, but before then, we have to go to a school for almost 1,000 years. This is the scripture that lets me know that we will go there and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Out of Zion shall go forth the new law. And the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. Brethren, not from heaven, but from Jerusalem. We begin to learn a new civilization. Civilization came to the earth through Egypt. But you see, when Jesus will return, civilization is going to come from the top of the mountain in Jerusalem. Are you getting the point tonight? Do you not have the hope? Why do you want to be like me? So I give it up. I'm not ready to go back, nor look back. Father, this you can't take from me.
Give me Micah 4. Let's look at verse
1-3. Micah 4. But in that last day shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. See, Micah also repeated it. Now give me verse 2. Give me verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come. Give me verse 3. And he shall judge. You see, Isaiah didn't give us this.
But Micah gave us this.
Micah said, and he shall judge among
many people
and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their sword onto what? Plowshares. Meaning, I see the sword that they used to fight will become a farming tool. And their spears into what? Pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Has it started?
No.
Is it in heavens? Probably we're going to plant that in the heavens. Go take them preachers. That tells you, I see it is again. I saw it again. You're going to live in heaven. And yet men will look at you and think that you are the one that is stupid. Give me Jeremiah 3:17. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. At that time, the time hasn't come yet, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all nations shall what? be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their heart. So tell me, when you don't know this truth, how are you going to come into the kingdom?
Amen. Amen.
Don't you know when you come, that you are going to be the second devil? No, think about it. You see why the scripture says that iniquity shall never what? Rise up the second time. So blessed, now I see why Christ told the disciples, blessed are your eyes for what? For the sea. And your ears for the hear. He said, for I tell you that many what? Righteous men, noble, mighty. And I ask you, are many prophets? What makes them prophets? What to see, what to see, what cannot. What to hear? Least they hear, and they get converted, and I save them. That scripture saves me. Then I kept asking, what makes them mighty prophets, mighty men? What makes them? Is it because they have brotherhood? Is that what makes them? You should rather be thankful to God that you are not there for Him to show you the hope of your calling, for you to walk in the truth and be saved. Both you and your household to be saved. It's not about going to church. It's about going to church, know when you're going to church, and live the life you're supposed to live, and begin to live the life of the kingdom while you are still breathing.
Amen.
So that when you make it to the kingdom, you will not be a security risk. We will not take because of you go and get an alarm system. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know that the saints shall possess the kingdom? That is the hope of our calling. Give me Daniel 7 verse 18. Let me show you the hope of our calling. The hope of our calling is the fact that we are going to possess the kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 in verse 18. In Daniel 7 in verse 18. But the saints of the high, of the most high, shall what? Shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Even forever. And what? And ever. Shall take the kingdom. Shall take the kingdom. The saints of God shall take the kingdom. And reign forevermore. Shall take the kingdom. Shall take the kingdom. The saints of God shall take the kingdom. And reign forevermore. We know no defeat. We know no defeat. Jesus is our captain. We know no defeat. I love the song sung by some of the Eastern, you know, brothers then in Des Moines, Iowa. When this gospel was still popular, I wish I know what I know now, how to apply love to the truth. I would have been a great evangelist. And I pray, God, thank you for giving me another chance. Preach the truth in love. At that time, many nations shall come to seek the Lord in Jerusalem, because He will be king over all the earth. Give me Zechariah 8:22. Write these scriptures down. Zechariah 8:22. Zechariah 14:9. Now, but give me Zechariah 8:22. Zechariah 8:22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts. In where? Not in heaven. And to pray before the Lord. On your own, you read Zechariah 14:9. And then Jesus, we know, is the stem of Jesse. Give me Daniel 7:14. Write it down. Daniel 7:14. Isaiah 11:1-9. Jesus is the stem of Jesse. But give me Daniel 7:14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that we shall not what, be destroyed. Now give me that of Isaiah 11. I want you to read it by yourself. I want to read it by yourself. Also write down the scripture. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 to 6. And lastly, Micah 5, verse 2. Give me the last scripture. Micah 5, verse 2. And I will close the book. And I promise not to give any more scriptures. Amen. Micah 5, verse 2. Thank you for bearing with me. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be what? Ruler in Israel. Who's going forth has been from old and who? Everlasting. Give the Lord a praise. You know? Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise.
Hallelujah.
Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
Give him a praise. This is the hope. Call it, brother. This is wonderful. I wish you find soul, joy, peace, and the zeal to move on and down with this lesson. Go back, study, study.
I didn't just give all the scriptures, not because I can quote scriptures,
but you see, it's good you understand. You know it's all over. That's why he told me, no, and the volume of the book, it is written of me.
Yes.
Go back, compare to what you know. Search the scriptures. Be like the saints in Berea. When they heard it, they went back. They search. And as you do so, turn your life around. Turn your life around. Jesus may come tomorrow. You don't know.
Amen.
Do what he has called you to do. He gave you a calling. Begin your work. Save souls for God's kingdom. Take souls out of the kingdom of darkness into what is marvelous light, that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened.